I'm Kenneth Russell. I was born in the village of Langford in 1934.
Ken, would you like to talk a little bit about your early days and what you remember? Start with us from childhood.
Earliest thing I remember was the standing outside the front gate with the neighbours after hearing that the speech about we declared war. I mean, that's the earliest thing I can really come to.
And roughly how old would you have been?
Five.
Right. And do you remember feeling a bit frightened by that?
I don't know if you're frightened or excited. The sirens went off. We gradually went into the war. The first real part of the war was when a Heinkel came down in Langford Park. I was at the Malden Cinema with my mother, being an only child, and I always liked the cinema. And we came home and this Heinkel was there, and we went with my father to look at it, but he wouldn't let me too close because there were still German bodies in the plane. And that's my first indication of the wartime.
Any other wartime memories?
The other thing being is that my father didn't go in there. He was eligible, but he worked for Langford Waterworks and he was exempt because he was working there. But he was in a home guard. And next thing I remember that he had a uniform. He had a 303 rifle in the bedroom and the time when they thought the Germans were going to invade, he's took me in there in the garden and said, "I've got to disappear. And you look after Mum."
Oh, my goodness.
And he'd been issued then with a Sten gun instead of a rifle. And we had that in the bedroom.
Right. And what did he mean, he'd have to disappear?
He would be, the Home Guard would be behind the lines when the Germans had come in.
Right.
They had hide-ups. I never asked him about hide-ups and things and what it was involved, but that was all I knew about it.
So they were really preparing for an invasion?
Yes.
Right.
Well, yes, that was supposed to... Yeah. We were waiting for it to come. It was a fault. It didn't come because of Battle of Britain.
And did you have an air raid shelter?
We had an air raid shelter in the garden.
Right.
Which we built ourselves, father built.
Did you? Yeah.
Concrete one. I don't remember spending much time in it, but I did wake up there in it in the morning sometimes when there'd been an air raid for the night. I've been taken down there. You can know about it because you said the planes going over and the battle going on. Whether you actually did see the red sky over London or not, it all appeared there was one. So that was the main thing.
So during this time, you were at school?
I went to school, yes. I used to go catch a bus from Langford School, by the Langford Church, and walk down the road to there. I was there for all the wartime. When the bombs fell on Heybridge Basin. I was at school then. My mother came and took me home that day. But it was... there was a lot going on. The soldiers about there. Langford Park, where was just down below us, was taken over by the army. They came to church. I remember coming to church, the Langford Church. Then they had, I don't know what was in there, but then one time you all of a sudden see tanks there.
Really?
And there were guns and tanks there. And next day they disappeared. Two or three days later, they were all dummies.
Right.
If there had been an attack, we was 100 yards from where they were going to be.
Exactly. Did you have much to do with the soldiers who were
stationed
there?
No, we had little to do with them. most I asked, remember the thing about it was before D-Day, there was a lot of lorries, troops moving past, and a lot of them were parked up in the roads, waiting to, I presume, to be ferried into the boats. Mm. And they come and out with mother making cups of tea for them. And the best thing we could do was, they got eggs. Could we boil these eggs for them? So my mother was full-time boiling eggs. They were there a couple of 3 hours, probably, or more, might be more. Then they moved on.
So, Ken, during wartime, I know you were quite a young boy, but do you remember any difficulty in getting food, other provisions?
No, I never felt that we were hungry. I think that I was raised on rabbits.
Rabbits?
Was the main.
And who caught the rabbits?
Father did, because he was working at the waterworks. Mm. I think they had, which would be found upon these days, snares.
Yeah.
Which was the main catching. So in the season, of rabbit season, we weren't short. Never went short of meat.
Yeah, yeah.
We never had sugar in the tea. Whatever sugar we got was safe for making jam.
Right, yeah. And did you grow your own vegetables?
That yes, sort of because it was a council property.
Yes.
They all had long gardens.
Right.
So that you could provide. So we could provide for ourselves. We had all the vegetables and things there in the garden. And being lucky that my mother, then, with like a lot of other women, worked on the farms.
Oh, your mother did?
Yes.
Was she called a land
girl? No, she's no,
just a worker.
Just a worker.
Yeah.
She worked on the farms. My father, it was because they were often on 12-hour shifts. So he had time. Then they had one day off that company, sorry, as he had been a farm worker and a cowman in his early days.
Right, yeah.
He went and doing relief milking of cows.
Did he?
So, because of the shortage then.
Yeah. Your parents sound very busy people at that time.
Yes. So I got involved in the water and going and picking strawberries, lifting potatoes. And then luckily work it and be able to be around a farm and be a child and lead the horses and drive a new tractor when it
really?
Came. Yes.
Ooh.
You know.
That must have been exciting for
it was
a boy.
Exciting.
Yes, drive a tractor.
Yes. Yeah. So.
So when did you move into Malden?
Well, I moved into Malden when I got married.
Right.
In 1958.
58, yeah. And you were working at the time?
I worked at Ernest Doe's at Alting.
At Doe's?
So from 1949.
Right.
I left school in March because then you left when your birthday was. If your birthday was at Christmas, you left at Christmas.
Right. And you left at age?
14. 15.
15.
14 was about a year. I missed it about a year, I think. I got just a year and a half.
And you went straight to Doe's?
Went straight to Doe's.
I guess they didn't have apprenticeships in those days, but you learnt.
You learnt. Yes, you were somebody and you learnt the job as you went.
And were you working with their machines?
I was working on mainly on early time when I started there. They were doing up tractors for the groundnut scheme.
Right.
That was helping rebuild tractors.
So you're back to tractors again.
You're back to tractors again.
Excellent, yeah.
Just the reason I went to tractors because I fancied being a carpenter, but the carpenters used to get laid off in the winter for 3 months.
Right.
So my father suggested I went to Doe's. They didn't.
Yes, yeah, sensible, yeah.
So then I spent the next 40 years with them.
And it was a good time? Obviously it must have been a good time. Happy
time. It was a happy time. It was nice because nothing against the farmers, but the you'd go out to a harvest machinery which might have been broken down 2 or 3 days, and the first thing it was often was a cup of tea or a meal.
Right. Really?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
You know, that.
And then you repaired the machine. Right?
Then you repaired the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the sort of easy life.
So you were sent out from Doe's.
From Doe's.
Very often?
I spent my time on a service service vehicle.
Mm.
I referred it out and I did it in the workshop.
Did you have a car, obviously, to travel around?
We had a van, a Ford 8 van was one of the first ones I had, I was in with, then mostly the Ford 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So we travelled all over Essex, into Hertfordshire and all the rest.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. And was Doe's a big business as it is today?
It was big then, not as big as it is today. Mm. I think they had four depots then when I first went to them.
Right.
But the area was quite large for the harvest machinery and that we went out.
Mm.
We went to Hendy on Thames once.
Did you?
I was the apprentice or the worker. We went to Hendy on Thames to build a machine combine which had come in from the States in a box and put it together. And we got it all started off that day, and we arrived back at Doe's on a Saturday night, about 12 o'clock.
Oh.
And my father had come up to find out what had happened to me.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ernest Doe and him were talking out there, and he inquired how we got on and was the customer happy.
Ken, let's just, if you don't mind, we'll backtrack for a moment, back to wartime. I think you've said... You told me earlier that you met some Italian prisoners of war. So,
yes,
where were they kept? Where were they staying?
The ones I mainly knew were the ones at Langford Hall. They made the loft above the cart lodge into a room for them, and they bedded there. And there was no guard there. They just lived there.
Really?
I think they were checked. People came round to look at them. They didn't stop to. They were there. I can't remember how long, but because the Italians changed sides, they eventually went home.
Mm. So they, although they were called prisoners, they weren't.
No,
really.
Yeah.
Did they work?
They worked on the farm, and they were doing jobs on the farm. On the farm.
And is that where you met them when you were wandering around?
And when they were there having a meal and things, you could have a talk to you and that.
Did they mostly speak English?
Yes, enough to try and understand what they were doing in that. And then after that, after the war, I got involved with the German prisoners of war.
Mm.
They weren't billeted there, but they came and dug out the canalway or the waterway from the Blackwater into the Langford Mill.
Really?
From there.
Okay.
And I spent a time in, they were digging this out by hand. And
yeah.
I spent time with them.
Yeah.
One of them tried to learn me German, but not very, it did not succeed with my Essex accent.
So in those days, as a child, you were, or a young man, you were free to wander around the fields, no problems, just took off.
Mixed with the Italians and the Germans.
Yes, yeah.
And I never felt threatened or frightened in my life.
And met up with local farmers, I expect, people working on the farms.
Yes.
So it was a good experience of freedom then, wasn't it?
It was a very good experience of freedom, yes.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk about your family's involvement with the church. Now, when you were living in Langford, did you go to Langford Church?
I went to Langford Church mainly. That was the main church. Occasionally Wickham Bishops. And then quite often Sunday evening go to Little Mission Hall at Wickham Bishops for the railway station.
Right. So you attended three different churches?
Yes, and we sometimes, my mother and me would go round or come into Malden and go to all the different churches.
Yeah,
I was interested what were all the different churches about at the time.
So the mission hall, that must have been very different to a Church of England service.
Yes. That was, I suppose you could call it a tin shackle, quite for illustration.
It's not there now.
It's not there now. It was there for many years. And it was run by a lady who, the owners of Wickham Bishop's Mill.
Right. There.
And I think my mother went there from time when she was in, when she was working in Wickham Bishop's for the houses there.
Would you say it was more evangelistic?
Yes, very much so. Yes.
So you like the contrast between the different
churches? I like the contrast between all the different... Well, Langford was very much, I suppose, not strict, but very formal. And others, I enjoyed the other ones, which were not quite so formal.
And when you moved into Malden, when you were married, you became members at All Saints?
My wife was a member at All Saints.
Right.
She'd been going there since she was a teenager.
Right.
With her brother. And, of course, then we got married at All Saints. And I was busy working for a lot of long hours for Ernest Doe's, for the harvest things and that.
Yep.
So I didn't go as much. Eventually, I became going more and more. Our children were both baptised there. And they wanted a little bit of painting done somewhere, and I volunteered, and I didn't stop after that.
I understand you were the church verger
for many years. Yes, for later time. And before that, I was... I took on work for verger because it was a hands-on job.
So what does being a verger mean?
Verger basically is that you make sure that the person taking the service has got everything they need to do the service.
Right.
And you also have the honour of wanding him in as sort of the one... Virgil's wand is to fight the way through the crowds when there was no seats in the churches and people stood there. So you made your way through.
Yes,
it's one of the oldest recognised official things of the Church of England.
So it's very much, would you say, like an assistant?
Your assistant.
Assistant
to the vicar and to keep a good order in the church.
So when you became a verger, Ken, you were roughly what sort of age?
I must have been about 50.
Right. And you were still working at Doe's?
Yes.
So, busy man.
Yes.
Do you remember many of the vicars you worked with?
Yes, the original one was Canon Dunlop. I remember the one before, but I didn't work with him.
Did you say Dunlop?
Dunlop.
Yeah.
And his oldest son was the same age as our oldest daughter.
Oh,
and they were both just in school together. So the families were reasonably connected at the time. He was quite a nice man to work for, not easy, but particular.
Did you go in the vicarage very often?
Yes, quite often, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that vicarage?
It's a cold place to live in the winter, as they all found. Yes, it was... all original timbers were there. It was a lot. In two places there was paintings on the wall in there. Thought to be done by the monks from Beaulieu Abbey when they were in charge of the church. And it was a pleasant place to be in.
Well, it's very old, isn't it?
It's very old.
Is it one of the oldest buildings?
It's thought to be one of the oldest houses in Malden.
Yes, houses, yeah.
In Malden. It's changed a lot over the years where bits have been added to it.
And how often would you go and meet with the vicar to discuss, you know, everyday things?
At least once or twice a week.
Yeah.
To know what the things in the early days when I first started as verger were for more regular, where it set in a pattern. It was only in later years where more things become different, things happen in the church as the services changed a lot, that you perhaps it had to be more. It wasn't done like that last week.
Right. You must have been a verger when there was the plan for building at the front of the church,
yes,
in the corner.
Yes.
Was that a difficult time?
I was also church warden at the same time as that.
You were warden as well,
yes,
at the same time.
It was a difficult time. I was one instigators who could have a vision of having a place on the front.
Mm.
The church is not as difficult to make it into what was modernly required. Our vision was that we had it was a window to the high street, that we should be flat to a street with a big opening front, so that everybody could come in, and that could be used by everybody, and that would have a small enough room, kitchen, just to make a cup of tea. I was rather disappointed it didn't happen. For one time, dealing with that, English Heritage were for it. They said we could even have a three-story front, like a Western film, where they have the buildings that there and nothing behind them.
But in the end, was it local opinion?
It was local opinion who think that they don't want things changed to our church. We couldn't put anything behind the church, and that didn't like change. It's their church, and probably a lot of them didn't come there only for the baptism and the funeral, but that was their church.
Yeah. All Saints is a wonderful building. It's very old, it's big. The maintenance of it must be massive.
It's massive. And the biggest job I was involved in as church warden was the spire being re-shingled. We tried to fund it. We managed to try for grants. And eventually we got a lot of that together, where the church wasn't. And with legacies we left, but we could afford it. So the English Heritage decided that we couldn't put pine shingles back on again, because not a native tree of England, and that wouldn't have been on there in the first place. So we had to have cleft oak.
Right.
And that put the cost up £7,000. But we overcome it with the English Heritage coming up with a bit more grants. And we managed to get it up there.
I mean, do churches get money from the Church of England, the body of the Church of England?
No, not anymore.
No.
The clergy and everything was funded by the church, central thing,
yeah,
but now it's funded by the diocese you live in.
Yeah. So this presumably is why there are fewer vicars.
Yes.
Sort of one vicar between three churches.
Yes.
And what's happening at All Saints at the moment?
Saints at the moment, we're in limbo, or interregnum. When Stephen retired, they decided to put us together with Heybridge. There was a vicar installed at Heybridge, and he would take over us, and as well as Langford. They would take over and work together. This was a little bit problematic. ASA, who was in charge there, became ill.
Right.
And resigned.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment we've got no vicar again. Mm-hmm. So there's no vicar for Heybridge and Langford. And then we don't look like we'd get a new one until for another year.
So are you able to hold all the services?
There is a curate been put into the vicarage now.
All right, yeah.
Who was ordained this last weekend. Yes, but they are virtually a quarter of what we always used to do.
Mm.
So we have, luckily, we've got some retired priests.
Right, yes.
We can use.
Yeah.
But they're getting older and shorter in the supply. Because if you hadn't had the church bringing in a lot of new priests, the theory is that you haven't got a lot.
Mm. And how do you see the future? The future of All Saints?
I think the future of All Saints has got to be a lot different to what it is now. It's a building we tried to make friendly for everybody.
Mm.
Change the interior, remove some pews, remove the screen to another side, so we had an open area there. The choir pews can't be moved unless we put new ones that are not designed to be moved. We moved through at least three rows in the front of the main body of church in front of that area, levelled the floor up so we have an open area, which makes an area now which is usable for concerts. Before, you had a screen up, yeah. Half a band behind, yeah. A singer in front.
Mm. So you're seeing more community activities?
I think it's got to be very community active.
Mm. As the heart of the community.
The heart of the community,
yeah.
to find the money to support.
Yeah.
It's roughly about £50,000 a year we have to pay the diocese.
Yeah.
We're at our own costs. Future of the church, All Saints, I feel it's got to be, been part of the community. It has to be more open. There's a lot more to be done, and the churches as a group work very closely together.
Mm.
And as with the deanery, we've had 16 churches and probably about 4.5 vicars for the clergy to cover the whole area. That we have got to be workers as a unit.
Mm.
And for to keep the fabric of the church going.
Yeah.
In my mind, if you look round, you look round for the town churches, which are closed. We are very lucky to have a town church, which is open.
Yeah. Ken, can we go back, if you don't mind, to your early childhood? And would you like to explain exactly where you lived as a child?
I lived officially in Wickham Bishops. If you go take the Retford Road from Malden to Hatfield Peveril, and you come through Langford, and there's a turning there which takes you to Whittam. Houses were built just inside the boundary of Wickham Bishops up that road.
Right.
They're still there to this day, just the other side of the railway bridge. They were built about 1932, 33. My parents got married and moved into one of them.
So they moved in when it was new?
Yes.
Brand new?
Because it was built on farmland of D.P. Smith at Wickham Hall, he had a choice of one of the houses. And my mother's father was working for D.P. Smith, and I think my father did as well. And so they got married and had this new house.
Mm.
there. Perfect.
And what was the house like? What were the facilities or lack of?
The houses were semi-detached houses. All had a nice long gardens. People who were all moved in together when they were new houses. And nobody changed in those houses much to perhaps after the wartime.
Was there electricity, running water?
No, there was no electricity. Only water, running water was a pump between the six houses.
A pump? What, in, out the back?
In out the back.
And a one pump for six houses. Right.
And, well, the fact is what you had to do was have somebody take a bucket up there and bring a bucket of water back. And only indoors you kept a 10-gallon clay-built jug and poured the water in there. And so that was sort of for then you would fill the bucket up again and use that.
So that had to be done several times a day?
Yeah, it depends. If you was doing the washing, that was several trips up to, because the washing was done and the kitchen had a copper in it, which you had lit a fire under with his own chimney, which you boiled the washing up in. That had to be filled by hand and emptied by hand.
And was that done once a week?
That was mainly done once a week, washing on that. Yeah. A fire was lit under there from there. Being in charge of it once, I'd have thought I was going to be a train driver and stoked it up. And I boiled it over and ended up cracking the chimney.
And was it one of your jobs to get the bucket to the pump and carry the water?
I did, I did do that sometimes, you know. It wasn't my father was about, so he mainly got his job to go. They had to maintain it. The winter time was to try and stop the pump freezing over.
Gosh.
Outside. Mm. It was wrapped up well. It was well known that you had to take hot water and pour into it and to get it sort of melted before you could pump everything out of it.
So, under the large copper,
yes,
you had a wood fire?
Wood fire, yes. Wood or coal where you a fire.
So, presumably you had a good store of wood at the back somewhere?
We had a store of wood and we were still managing to get coal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what about, you said there was no electricity, so did you use oil lamps or candles?
There was no electricity. Downstairs, we were in the main dining room, lounge, living room, whatever you called it. We had one old lamp, which is in there. The kitchen, I think, must have had another light, but I don't remember that one much, what it was. It used to have the old lamp in the kitchen, in the main room, had a mantle in it, which was very tender. If you shook the lamp and hit it, it broke. And they, as though for the wartime, they were virtually impossible to get there, and a very expensive item out of the income. So I tend to remember that.
You had to be very careful.
Very careful of that.
And what about upstairs?
Upstairs there was no electricity, you just went to bed with a candle.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
And could you, was it enough to read by candlelight?
Yes, it's surprising how much light comes from one candle. It was a sort of half inch candle by about 4 inches, something like that long. It gave a quarter amount of light.
And again, you must have had to be very careful with the candles.
Yes.
Where you put it, etc.
You had it. As the war time, we couldn't get furniture, but we did manage to get an orange box. And I painted it and had it in my bedroom as a side table with a curtain over the front of it.
So, we said no electricity, no running water. Tell me about the toilets then.
The toilet, we had a toilet attached outside, toilet attached to the house. As it, it, we had no cesspit or anything. It was a bucket.
Right.
And I'm not certain before the war time, because I can't remember. I wouldn't remember it. But from there was no any disposal of the bucket, contents of the bucket. Mm. Was to dig a hole in the garden.
Right.
So one had to remember where you dug the last hole. So the gardens were what you might call well fertilised.
Yes.
Hence these days and that, when they talk about if you work in an old house and you get a cut and brain, you should have a tetanus injection. Here's the point, is what has been put in all those them gardens over all these hundreds of years.
Yeah. Well, what about the night soil men and the carts? When did they... wartime?
They started after war. They reappeared after wartime.
Right.
And so they came around and took your bucket in the middle of night, night time, and emptied it into the tanker and disposed of it.
Somehow.
Because Malden itself didn't have any sewers, properly sewers, until about 1962, 63, something like that. When I married and lived on the causeway with my wife, her bungalow and the next door neighbour, I think, were the only two people on there who had flush toilets, because they had their own cesspits in the garden.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, we weren't that far out, you know, behind things. The only thing we didn't have was gas and electricity.
But, you know, when you're brought up like that, you don't know any different.
It was a norm. It was a norm.
Yeah, of course. What about having a bath?
Bath night was normally the Friday night, and the copper was lit for water, for that. And I had a bath in front of the fire. Then my parents used it afterwards. I went to bed. I went to bed and they used it afterwards.
Right, yeah.
When I become older and staying up later, I was ready to go to the kitchen to have a bath in there.
You had a bit of privacy.
Yeah, a little bit of privacy.
Right, let's move on then. What about your garden? You said it was a long garden and your dad grew lots of produce there.
The garden was quite a long one. It was well made. He maintained it. The front garden in the wartime, we dug that up, all the flower beds, the front part of the garden, and set potatoes. For some reason, the soil was never very good there, and never got a good crop off of. We grew most of the vegetables, and try to rotate. That we got winter cabbages and things.
Right. Yeah.
Not too bad, because being in the country, and my mother done farm work at that time. Like a lot of the ladies did.
Right.
So we had potatoes were grown locally, and we were doing picking the potatoes, and then you could buy the potatoes off the farm, or you could gain a few by gleaning. You was allowed to glean after they ploughed the field, and there were still potatoes and things on the top.
And how did you store and keep the potatoes?
Storing was, we dug a hole in the garden, lined it with straw, which was readily available locally, put the potatoes in there, covered them with straw again, a thick coat of straw, and then the earth you dug for the hole you put over the top and formed a clamp.
And that kept them
in good condition, long as it wasn't extra hard frosts and that, and the frost went through into the clamp, and that usually sees us through into the winter.
Good.
And then for then they were open the clamps in the field and riddling those for market, and you could buy more potatoes again.
So that would see you through the whole year.
Yeah, so the fact is that would see you up the time that they opened the clamps to get potatoes out of.
And I believe that you ate a lot of rabbit in the early days.
Yeah, well, it was those days that are part of all country life that rabbits were fair game, and for the wartime that they became more important as a meat.
Yeah.
So we at least had one rabbit a week while they were in season. The season was there for them.
And your mum made a nice rabbit stew, no?
Made a rabbit stew and things.
Yeah.
Only criterion was that we looked at it. I always looked to see if the liver wasn't spotted or anything.
Ah, okay, yes.
If that was spotted or anything like that, it didn't look right. Mm. We didn't eat the rabbit.
No. Yeah, good point. So, what about pork and sort of?
We did. You were allowed to have a pig, and you had to feed it yourself, so any waste we had and things went for feeding the pig.
Did you have your own pig, or was
no,
it
no, that was a shared thing between my father and his mum's brother and one or two other people locally in Langford. And you were allowed to keep half the pig. The government, we had half, and you could have the half one, other half between you.
Right, yeah.
So that was then cut up into proportions, and as we had no fridges then, it had to be cooked or ate reasonably quick.
Yes, so for a few days you were eating, you were eating a lot of pork.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Our sugar ration for ourselves was on rationing. The sugar ration was never used for sweetening tea. It was saved as much as possible for making jam. Mm. Because we had apple orchards just up the road, blackberries and other fruit, and plums and that you could get, and made different jams for the winter. Some of the apples, we used to cut them in, core them, and then cut them in slices and hang them up to dry.
Did you? Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So we had dried fruit.
Yes.
And
Obviously, you and your family are quite inventive. Or maybe everybody was.
I think everybody was. It was It was the sort of same thing.
Yeah.
As we did, my father wasn't working on the farm. He was cowman at the Wickham Hall. He left there in about 38 and went to Langford Waterworks and worked there.
Mm.
But still in his time, but they were doing 12-hour shifts. But then they would go off and get a day off and things like this. So when he was off time off, he used to go do reserve milk cowman.
Really?
So he could buy milk or have some milk from the farm.
So he didn't really have a day off at all, did he?
Never had a day off.
You mentioned earlier that your mum managed to make net curtains. We were talking about being inventive.
Yes.
How did she do that?
We bought there was coupons for that, for everything.
Yeah.
And net curtains were the last thing you spend your precious coupons on. But there was certain times that the linen or the netting, which was on animals, which come from Argentina and things, they had the whole carcass.
Yeah, yeah.
Had this muslin round them.
Right. Yeah.
And she managed to get hold of some of this, and then felt guilty because she's putting up new, these are nice and white, and somebody might have come alone and wanted to know where she got the coupons to buy this stuff from.
Right.
So we had, so of all things, she put it in tea to make it a little bit tainted. So it didn't look new.
Yes, such a good idea. Yeah. Because so hanging at your windows was the muslin that had been round carcasses of in the past. Yeah.
They made nice net. They made good net curtains, but I had to dye them.
Now, you said before that you were often quite unwell as a child.
Yes.
So did you see doctors or were you just looked after at home?
I was looked after at home. I think that I am, because those days, milk you got straight from the farm was unpasteurised and full cream. And I was allergic to the milk.
Right.
When I was born. Right. And that was made life hard for my mother.
Sure.
And to see, I think in the end, she managed to find a formula, which I could have.
Mm.
Yes, so I was quite... I was quite... I was never very well.
Right.
For many years.
Yeah.
And I lost a lot of school time.
Mm.
I think the worst period was what I had off from Christmas to Easter.
Really?
And I had scarlet fever.
Oh, yeah, that can be a very nasty illness, can't it?
I didn't suppose to have gone to Heybridge Fever Hospital.
Mm.
And being a young lad, I kicked up a lot of fuss. And the doctor said, well... As you went well in the country, as long as you put a blanket at the door, I think we might just about get away with you stifling at home.
And that was just to isolate you?
Yes.
So that you wouldn't pass on the infection?
Wow. So people used to come, and if they came and see me, had to talk through the window to me, just like the COVIDs we've had now.
Do you remember feeling very unwell at that time, very ill?
Not really. I don't remember. I wasn't, because I know I spent so long time in bed.
That in fact, a bit bored, I suppose.
Wasn't really. I perhaps it's my liking of reading and the radio.
Mm.
We had a radio which had accumulator for a tight thing for a battery.
Right.
And which had to be charged up at least every week.
Right.
So we had two accumulators, one being charged and one not. So that's why I still like the radio.
Yeah.
And that was so much company then and listening to.
Quite.
And I like jigsaw puzzles. Mm. People go, when I was ill, they could give me jigsaw puzzles.
Mm.
And I like doing jigsaw puzzles.
Of course, in those days, I'm assuming this was before the NHS, so any doctors that came to the house had to be paid.
They did.
So,
I
imagine one didn't call the doctor out very often.
No, you were. Funny enough, it's like we are being asked today, suggested we go and talk to the chemist.
Mm-hmm.
We always talked to the chemist first.
Yeah.
And then went to the doctors.
Mm. So, I gather from what you said earlier, you did have doctors coming to the house.
Yes.
Something to do with your fingernails? What?
Well, I had my tonsils about 9 or 10.
You had your tonsils removed?
I had my tonsils removed.
At home?
At home by two Malden doctors. Having the surgery I'm at the moment still. They're not the same ones.
The same.
But some of their relations have been worked there for the time. Mm-hmm. And they came out and they had to scrub the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I was operated on the kitchen table.
Oh my goodness me.
And I don't always remember that for somehow my father managed to get ice cream from somewhere. And so I could have that, because I couldn't eat anything else with tonsils.
Yeah.
After my illness with scarlet fever and that, I got Whitlow's under my fingernails.
Whitlow's?
Yes, as they were called then.
And can you explain what they were?
The septic pieces under the nail.
Right.
And so they came and put me out and removed four or five of my fingernails. Then I had to have hot, wet, some salt water and put them in hot, on as hot as water as I could stand every quarter of an hour.
Really?
And watch to make sure there's no red line going up my arm. If there was, see the red line, call the doctor.
Yeah.
And we managed it at night times when you went to bed. You couldn't do this, so mother made up a bread poultice. And put that on your fingers, or your hands, and bound them all up so you got the heat for the night.
And that did the trick?
I done the trick.
Recovered and the nails regrew?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
We did have evacuees.
You had evacuees?
Come to us, yes. Two boys. One was so upset and thinking that, my mother couldn't do anything, couldn't calm him down, so they took him away. We had another lad, and he wasn't there 2 or 3 weeks. I never really got played with him, but I had no mark on my memory other than he was there. Then they decided the area was too dangerous, so they moved him all away to the other side of the country.
Yeah, well, Malden wasn't totally safe, was it?
No.
Malden area.
Yes, it.
Yeah.
So, but I never got, we never got moved because we're where we were.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Ken. Really interesting.